Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
People have been wondering why I'm walking around with an aromatic plate of cookies, brownies, and other assortments, and you'll find out later. This month is about mystery. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis. I'm the Reverend Beth Banks, and I'm the senior minister for this congregation, and it is really wonderful to be with you again today.
And I'm Lily Roberts, today's worship associate. Welcome to this morning, this day, and this opportunity to be together in community, which is a time of joy, comfort, and sometimes challenges. This Unitarian Universalist congregation is a place where we come to learn more about being human. We're not here because we've figured out life's questions, and if anyone has, we want to know the answers, or because we're certain that we've got it right. We come here to learn more about being in relationship together, how to listen, how to forgive, how to be vulnerable, and how to create trust and compassion in one another.
To acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of this world, for the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts. And we light one pillar candle for the joys of the world that also exist side by side our sorrows. And now we center for worship with music.
I would like to invite Richard Castle up to light the chalice. Rich is here visiting with his sister-in-law, Beth Banks. The chalice lighting words are by Leslie Pohl Cosbaugh. Flame of fire, spark of the universe that warmed our ancestral hearth, agent of life and death, symbol of truth and freedom, we strive to understand ourselves and our earthly home. Advent begins 4 weeks before Christmas, and it names our yearning for a time when hope, peace, joy, and love support every being, including the living earth. Each Sunday, we light one more candle on the wreath, which represents ongoing life, the circle of life. This is the third week of Advent. So the first candle is lit for hope. The second candle is lit for peace. And the third Advent candle is lit for joy. In this season, we are waiting for joy felt because of the beauty of the earth and the dance of the sun and the moon moving across the sky. May the time come when the joy of the earth's beauty and promise is treasured by people in every country, especially our own. I invite you to respond by repeating after me. We are waiting.
We are
waiting. We are ready for joy.
We are ready for joy. Well, today we are talking about names and the power of names that we have, the mystery of names. And so I brought a book about names. It's one of my favorites. I read it to my son a lot. It's called Quit Calling Me a Monster. And it's written by Jory John, an author I've become quite fond of. I put the pictures up on the screen in case you can't quite make it out in the book version. So, quit calling me a monster. Just stop it right this minute. I'm being totally and completely serious here. It really hurts my feelings. I'm no monster. Just because I have horns and wild eyes and clumpy feet and fangs and long toenails and funny hair. Just because I have a toothy smile that glows in the dark. Just because I roar and holler and scream and whoop and cackle. Just because I howl at the moon and howl at the sun. Just because I hide under the bed, or at the back of the closet, or behind the shower curtain, or in the glove compartment. It really bothers me when you call me a monster without thinking about it. There goes a monster, you exclaim when I walk by. Mommy, save me from the monster, you holler when I'm just trying to buy my groceries. I think there's a monster under my bed, you scream while I'm just trying to sleep. Okay, so maybe I let my claw slip out, and maybe I growl in my sleep, but it's not my fault. You should see you when you sleep. It's all like blah, 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 blah. It's also very annoying. It's not like I call you names, do I? I could be like, look at that little meat snack over there. Or, there goes that kid I'm going to chomp up. But I don't. I don't say anything because I have good manners. You could really learn something from me. Yep, I'm a monster with excellent manners. Did I say? I didn't mean like ma. Okay. So, technically, I'm a monster. After all, I have horns and fangs and wild eyes and funny hair and clumpy feet and long toenails and a huge toothy grin that glows in the dark. And my parents were monsters. I guess it's all kind of obvious. Still, I really don't like being called a monster one bit. How would you like it? You wouldn't. That's how. So quit calling me a monster, everyone. My name is Floyd. Floyd Peterson. Please call me Floyd Peterson from now on, and I won't roar at you like this. Roar! Or like this. Kai! Or this growl. That is the roar of Floyd Peterson. Pretty good, right? Now, I'm going to bed. Try not to wake me when you clomp in with your funny feet. No offense. Daddy, I think there's a monster in my closet. No, son, it's just Floyd Peterson. Oh, okay. Good night. Ah, much better. I've become very fond of Floyd Peterson. So, friends, it's important that we call people by the names they want to be called. And I think that's an important lesson for all of us to learn at different points in our life. So, if you are young at heart and would like to head to Bridge House for religious exploration, now is the time. I invite you to head on out as we sing the children's blessing.
I was born on December 20th. Each birthday is followed by the winter solstice, which begins the reversal of the sun's ebbing in the sky, and life begins anew as the year is reborn. I kid you not, but I feel the imperceptible change of each longer day as winter passes into spring. Like the lily bulb under the cold soil, protected from the elements, I begin to slowly blossom again. My first name is actually two words, Lily Lee, two L's, L-I-L-Y, in recognition of my maternal grandmother, Lillian, and my godmother, Leela, and my middle name is Corina, after my mother. I was, of course, the firstborn, so they wanted to use all the names they could. And, of course, my dad, Mr. Roberts, had a say in naming me. Lily was not a common name when I was young, like over 60 years ago or something. However, being called Lily Lee, oh my, only added to the teasing that I experienced as a child. So by the fourth grade, I dropped the Lee and I went only by Lily. And just so you know, I do not like to be called Lil. What's in a name? There are cultural and family traditions in baby naming conventions. It is sacred. It is a sacred event to many. When I told my father that I wanted to change my name to legally to just Lily Roberts, because I did not want my full legal name printed on my diploma, oh my, he was visibly crushed. I never imagined that my parents put that much thought into naming me. Why else did I get teased so much? Anyway, now imagine the following conversation between two young women out on a playground as their little girls are skipping and singing around. Hello, I'm Erica's mom. What's your daughter's name? Oh, I'm Joy's mom. Her brother's name is Tyler. He's the one over in the sandbox over there with his dad. My husband's name is Tom. And you? My husband died when I was 3.5 months pregnant. I'm just Erica's mom. That was me in my early 20s. I was Erica's mom. My identity, my life, and my dreams all focused on my little girl. I was her world back then, and she was mine. In 1977, like any parent, widowed or otherwise, I was pondering what to call my baby. In Old Norse, Erikr means eternal ruler. After all, I was going to give birth to a biracial child in a time where people begrudgingly allowed interracial marriages. And in the baby books, it said that Eric or Erica meant strong and powerful. And I wanted my child to have a name that signified strength because I felt they would need it. When Erica was 10 months old, I went back to school to finish my bachelor's, and then I went on to work on a master's because I didn't know what else to do. And I was working part-time and raising Erica. I met my current husband, Robert, when Erica was almost 4. After he courted both of us for a while, we married, and then he adopted Erica. Then in 1986, Robert and I were in the baby naming process again. We knew it would be a boy, so we struggled. John Eric, spelled J-O-N. Well, that wouldn't do because my dad's name is J-O-H-N, and Bob's middle name is Robert John. So we struggled, John Eric or Christopher Eric, until the day Christopher was born. Interestingly enough, we became Erica's parents. Christopher's first word was gaka, not kaka, mama. No, gaka. He was saying Erica before he said mama or dada. Being called Erica's mom is sacred to me because her birth meant the renewing of life. Being named Lily reminds me that, like the bulb under that cold soil in the winter, I am resilient. My birthday is the eve of rebirth of life on earth that commences with the winter solstice. I was blessed with a sacred name. These days, when I hear someone say Lily, I might turn my head and see a little girl being beckoned by her mom or dad. I smile deep in my soul. Lilies have blossomed. Life is renewed.
Hush, hush. Somebody's calling my name. Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. In the beginning, about 13 billion years ago, give or take a couple million years, the god Elohim was born in a fiery explosion. And Elohim, which is everything great and good, spread across time and space. And Elohim came together to create the stars and the galaxies. And those stars shot out dust, and that became the planets and the asteroids and the moons. And on one of those planets, there came to be air and water and plants and animals and fish and birds and all matter of life. And Elohim gathered together some of that stardust and breathed life into it and named it Adam, which means humanity. But it also means from the earth. Adam from Adama. Humus to humanity. Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. A long, long, long time ago, there was a great teacher who loved everyone, and his name was Jesus. And Jesus traveled with his friends to the town of Bethany to see his friends Mary and Martha. And when he got there, Mary and Martha said, "Jesus, come see our brother because he is ill and dying and time is short." And Jesus said, "No, it's fine. We have time. It can wait." And Mary and Martha said, "No, there's no time, Jesus. Please hurry." And he said, "No, we have time. It can wait." And soon it came to be that Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus had died. So they took Jesus to see their brother. And he leaned into the tomb and saw Lazarus there, lying dead, his body already returning to the sacred stardust of all creation. And Jesus leaned in and he said, "Lazarus, Lazarus, come out." Again, this time louder, he said, "Lazarus, come out." And this time he yelled, "Lazarus, come out." "Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name." A couple years ago, my classmates and I were preparing for a trip to Ferguson, Missouri. And as we were getting ready, we were asked, "What do you need?" And my friend Marvin said, "If I get arrested, I need my people to see me. I need my people to see me and to call my name, because I know there are countless others just like me who were taken away. And when no one was looking, they were never seen again." So on a hot, muggy St. Louis afternoon, my friend Marvin was arrested, and we called out to him. We called out to him like his life depended on it. We yelled, "Marvin, Marvin, we see you. We see you, Marvin, and we love you. We see you." A few months later, I was walking across the quad on my school's campus on my way to class. And in the early, quiet evening, I heard, "Alex? Alex?" And I turned around, but I couldn't tell where my name was coming from. So I kept walking to class. And this time, more clearly, I heard, "Alex?" And I turned around, and it was my friend Marvin. So I walked over to him, and I gave him a hug, and I whispered in his ear, "Thank you. Thank you for seeing me." "Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name." In a time before this one, not too long ago, I used to work in restaurants. I worked in dive bars and fancy gourmet places. I used to sweep floors and wipe down tables. I used to make fancy cocktails and pour yummy beers. I worked in places where people would scrounge together just enough change to buy a sandwich. And I worked in places where people would drop $300 for dinner and not even bat an eye. But my favorite place to work was the St. Vincent de Paul Free Kitchen in downtown Oakland. There I would serve hot meals to our homeless neighbors, sometimes the only hot meal they got the whole day. And on quiet days where not a lot was going on, I'd be able to sit down and talk to our clients. So one day I drop a meal off at a client and he asks, "Are you busy? Will you have lunch with me?" And I said, I'm not busy. I'd be happy to." So I grab a cup of water and I sit next to him. I sit across from him and we're just talking. We're talking about our lives, about how our days went. We talked about our families, about life on the streets. And he stops me and he says, "What's your name?" And I tell him, "My name's Alex." And he touches my hand and says, "Alex, thank you for having lunch with me. It means so much to me." Friends, there are people who will look you up and down and find every one of your insecurities. They will see you and cut you down to size. They will tell you that you wear the wrong clothes, that you listen to the wrong music, the color of your skin is wrong, the texture of your hair is wrong, you live in the wrong neighborhood, you have the wrong kind of money, you love the wrong people. And they tell you that if you just fix these things, you'll be whole again. And everything will be right. And sometimes they tell this to you so many times, you start to believe it. Sometimes these are things you tell yourself. And then there are people, God's prophetic people, who look at you and see you for who you are. They see you and they call your name, the name you call yourself, the name God calls you. They see where you've been and where you're heading, and they want to go there with you. They see you and they recognize that you're made from the same divine stardust of all creation. They tell you that you're enough, that your love is enough. Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. I used to work in a church in San Francisco, in a rough part of town called the Tenderloin. You may be familiar with it. You may have even been there. And one morning I was walking to church, walking around used needles and litter and waste, around people sleeping in doorways and alleyways, folks fighting, folks still drunk or nodding off from the night before. And then I saw something. I saw something and it stopped me dead in my tracks. On one side of the street, I saw people lining up for breakfast, free breakfast at the church. And on the other side of the street, I saw people lining up for brunch at a fancy new restaurant that had opened up in town. Here were people on opposite sides of the street doing the exact same thing, lining up for breakfast, and yet they were worlds apart. So I stood there. I stood there on the street corner and I scratched my head and I thought about it for a while. What was going on here? What is the deal with all of this? And as I sat there thinking about it, trying to figure it all out, I heard, "Pastor? Pastor? Pastor Alex?" And I turned around and I saw Cece. Cece's a member at the church, a tall black trans woman who lived in the neighborhood. And me, well, a white cis dude who lived in Berkeley. And for some reason, we now knew each other. Some incredible twist of fate meant we were standing on the same street corner. And as I was looking at Cece, I realized no one had ever called me pastor before. So I said, "Good morning, Cece. You heading to church?" She said, "Yeah, I am." And I said, "Can we walk together?" She said, "I'd like that." So Cece and I walked to church together, past all those people lining up for breakfast. I don't know why I noticed those people that day of all days, but it allowed me to stop and hear Cece when she called my name. Hush, hush, somebody's calling our name. Friends, somebody is calling your name. What are they saying? They are calling your name because they have needed you. They are needing you because you need them. They have what you're looking for. You have what they've been looking for. Someone is calling your name because they've been waiting for someone just like you. They're looking for someone who's gone through what they've gone through, that will tell them, it's okay, I've survived and you can too. It's worth surviving. They need to know that life is worth living and it's better with them in it. They are looking for someone to love. They are looking for someone like you to love. Someone to love them. Someone's looking to get sober, looking for reassurance that it's okay that they fell off the wagon again. There's someone looking for someone to get a drink with, maybe even just a cup of coffee. There's someone who cried today for the first time in a long, long, long time. There's someone out there who wants to be noticed. They want a note or an email or a phone call saying, I noticed you weren't at church today. There's someone who wants to know that their name is being called, that they're angry because they can't hear their name being called. They hear something in the far off distance, not knowing that it is their own name being called. There's someone saying, hush, what's that? What's that? There is someone saying, I am here, I am here, I am here, what will you have me do? There is someone calling your name, friend. How will you answer? How will you live your one precious life in such a way that your name will continue to be called long after you've left this place? There is someone out there calling, I am here, I am here, I am here, I am here, what will you have us do? Well, how will you answer? Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, what shall we do? Amen. So may it be. Friends, let's gather together for a time of reflection and prayer. Spirit of love, life, and justice, you who are called by so many people with so many names, we call you into this space now. We give thanks for one more day. One more day to be together. We acknowledge the darkness, the long, long night this week, and the short, short day, and we give thanks for that too, knowing that just as the seed needs the darkness of the earth to sprout and grow, we too need the darkness to rest and stretch and grow. We give thanks for those who struggle for justice here in our homes, on the border and around the world, those who know that a better day is not only possible, it is just over the horizon. We give thanks and blessing and peace to those who struggle with health, with illness and injury. We lift up our children and our elders, those who teach us so many ways of being in this world. We remember those we have lost and the new life promised. And we keep in mind our policymakers and our government, hoping, striving, praying that they work for peace and justice and with love in their hearts.
Now, let us share a moment of much needed stillness and silence so our own individual prayers may be heard by the one that hears all. For all these prayers spoken and those that remain in the silent sanctuaries of our hearts, we lift up with grateful praise. For the events and people who weave us in a tapestry of love we call community, we give thanks. And now we extinguish these pillar candles to recognize the joys and concerns that we've brought to this community are taken and shared. And we extinguish this chalice, the symbol of our faith, but we take with us the warmth in our hearts, the light in our eyes, and the power in our bodies. Friends, gather together, reach a hand, touch a shoulder, make eye contact, make some sort of human contact. That's what we're about here, human contact. Friends, someone is calling your name. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? They are calling your name to remind you that you are part of the sacred stardust of all creation, that you are beloved. Friends, go and live your life accordingly. Our worship has ended, but our service has just begun, and let the people say amen.